You're listening to a sermon from Pastor Kevin Wellborn of Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico. Now, here's Pastor Kevin.
One of the greatest blessings in my life, without a doubt, is the fact that I was born in the United States of America. Okay, now I don't take that real lightly, but you know what else? I also can take zero credit for that. Okay, that was a blessing directly from God. Then on December 22nd, 1980, I discovered America. Okay, there in Mount Pleasant, Texas, and God has been very good to us. Today, or this weekend really, as we celebrate Memorial Day, I want you to give you a reminder, I should say. We have different holidays. Of course, there's Veterans Day, there's Armed Forces Day and all that, but this weekend is specifically for those that have given their lives for our freedom, okay? And as Topher read, since the beginning of the Revolutionary War, 1.1 million Americans have given their life on the battlefield for us. One of I don't know how to describe it. Something that it surprised me, I should say, several years ago. Our pastor back in Mount Pleasant, Brother Tommy, went to Russia several times, and he went to a Baptist church in Russia. And actually, he preached at, I don't know if it's called Moscow Baptist Church or First Baptist Moscow, but he was able to preach there. But in a meeting with American pastors and Russian pastors, they asked a question. They said, how come American churches will fly the flag in their church buildings? We would never do that in Russia. And their perspective was, because in Russia, if you fly the flag, that means the government has control over everything that you do. Here, we don't mind flying the flag because it means freedom and liberty. And as Topher said, because of the lives that have been given for us, I can say anything from this scripture that I believe is true from this pulpit. Nobody's going to come in here and tell us what to do and what to say. That's the freedom we have. Did you know, I know America's not perfect, but did you know in the United States of America, even though, of course, we know Paul in the New Testament went all over the world, but the first missionary societies were really formed in the United States of America. We were the first group as a nation that started sending out Christians into the highways and byways, into the third world country, so people would hear the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's a nice place to live, and there's a lot of freedom here, but I want to remind us today that God's hand was in all of these things. That if, as Americans, we are truly blessed, God has been good to us. So today we remember and recognize those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we can come today and worship in freedom. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts. And I told Matt chapter 8, but we're actually going to start back at the back end of chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, we'll start reading in verse 54. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. And today, because we are specifically conscious of the Memorial Day, we're calling today's message In Defense of Grief. Acts 7, verse 54 says, now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. So this is the account, obviously, of the death of Stephen. And Stephen holds the distinction for being the first Christian martyr that we know of, the first one recorded in Scripture, willing to give his life for Jesus Christ. And today, as a reminder, I want to tell you that today, probably not in the United States of America, probably not in the state of New Mexico here in Clovis, but our brothers and sisters across the world are giving their lives because of their faith in Jesus Christ. So today, we also ought to remember them as well. Okay? We've gotten a little fat and happy in our Christianity here in the United States, but there are people who literally are losing their life today, May 29th, because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Let us not forget those men and women and children today. They stoned Stephen to death, the first recorded Christian martyrs biblically. First point today, I want to point out the different reactions to the death of Stephen. Did you notice to the executioner, they felt triumphant. Have you ever watched those shows on Discovery Channel when they're fishing for sharks? What are they? They throw all that blood in the water, don't they? They call it chum, just big old chunks of stuff. They put it in the water. And these sharks just become ravenous when they get the smell in their nostrils, if sharks have nostrils. But they get the smell and they attack the chum in the water. If we see in Acts here, they kill Stephen, and it says, beyond Saul was there, they put the garments at his feet. Other versions say he held the coats of those that stoned Stephen to death. And then it goes on to say in chapter 8 that Saul went, and he was dragging men and women off to prison because of their faith in Jesus. The persecutors of the church at the death of Stephen, they became ravenous, much like a shark would. In Acts chapter 12, Herod Agrippa had James beheaded. And the people liked it so much that then he went and found Simon Peter and had Simon Peter thrown into prison. The executioners, the persecutors of the church, found triumph in this. They rejoiced over this. They thought it was a good thing. In their hearts, they felt what they were doing was right. Can I remind you of Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, I believe it is, that basically says, don't follow your heart. Okay, over this past few weekends, we've probably had speeches given at graduation ceremonies, and many salutatorians and valedictorians and even just other speakers may say things like, follow your heart, and all your hopes and dreams will come true. Well, the Bible says that the heart of man is exceedingly wicked. Who can know it?
That's true.
Following your heart is not good advice. My heart can lead me down several paths, most of which I don't need to cross. In their heart, the executioners and the persecutors of the church of Jesus thought that they were doing a good thing. They thought they were, in many cases, doing God a favor by ridding these heretics from the face of the earth. And it became so popular that they looked for people. They went out of their way to find Christians to throw into prison and to murder. They pumped their fist at it. They were triumphant. Acts chapter 2, verse 8 says the reaction of the disciples was inexpressible sorrow. You see in verse 2 of chapter 8 says, devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. That is actually a very accurate Greek translation. It comes from the Greek terms mega and kapiton. And mega, of course, we have words like megaphone and things like that. We know that means big or great, huge, large, all of those things. They had great sorrow over the loss of Stephen. In World War II, my great uncle, I just went blank. This just popped my head. My mom's here, maybe. Lawton? Okay. I put her on the spot. Sorry, Mom. But my great uncle was shot down over the Pacific Ocean and taken to a Japanese camp and executed in a Japanese POW camp. The Japanese, and they were triumphant over that. But how the lady that we called back in southern Mississippi, Mama Stewart, how did she react to that? Great lamentation. Inexpressible sorrow. W.A. Criswell told the story one time. He went to tell went to go comfort somebody who had just lost a son in World War II. And on their way over to the house, he had a deacon there with him in the car, and a deacon said, "You know, Pastor, for this lady, the war is over. 400 and something thousand Americans died in the Second World War. And all of them very important. All of them creations of God that were fearfully and wonderfully made. But for that one lady, her son had lost his life. For her, the war was over." Why is that? Because that individual meant more to her than anything in the world. For these executioners and persecutors, they see triumph. For those that lost somebody, they see the loss of an individual that they loved, an individual that they relied upon, an individual that was very important in their lives. And they had sorrow. There's a quote that's attributed to Joseph Stalin that says, "The death of one man is a tragedy, but the death of millions is a statistic." Now, of course, I'm not going to quote Stalin very much. Not a guy I agree with on anything. But how many times do we turn on the news and we see maybe natural disaster? Just a few, last month, I believe it was it Ecuador? They had an earthquake and 300 or 400 people were killed in the earthquake. Well, we hated it, but did any of us lose a second of sleep over that? We didn't know anybody. Sometimes we have to remember how valuable a life is. How valuable is life? Why am I so adamant about being pro-life? Because I believe God created that little baby.
Amen.
From the moment of conception.
Amen.
That is a human being for whom Jesus gave his life.
Yes, amen.
We have to remember, even though others may not understand it, when we lose a loved one, that is important to us. Because that individual was important to God.
Amen.
We don't ever need to get into the mindset that life is not valuable. You see it even in the United States of America today, that so many, not just with the abortion issue, but even in the streets. We've seen it recently in Chicago and Baltimore and other places as well, where people literally be murdered for pennies, for tennis shoes, things of that nature. Life is more valuable than that. If the perfect Son of God, the spotless Lamb of God, would give his life for that individual, then that individual's life is precious in the sight of God. Executioner's triumph. Saul got more bitter and more ravenous. The disciples had inexpressible sorrow. And then a reminder, and I've already kind of gone on this tangent, but those who mean so little to others can mean so much to us. Then let me ask you another question today. Talking about grief specifically. Is it okay for a Christian to grieve? We see in the Bible so many times over that in Jesus we have joy and peace and we're triumphant, we're more than conquerors, all of those things. But what does the Bible say about biblical grief? I'll go ahead and ruin it and then talk about what the Bible says. The Bible says that we grieve, but we don't grieve like an unbeliever would grieve. Okay? So many times over in just 2 years that I've been here, this topic has been brought up. And the story I'll tell you, one time in my life have I gone to a visitation of a young man who did not know Jesus Christ. All the other visitations and funerals I've been to, the person named the name of Jesus Christ. But the one that I went to, this young man, I believe he was 19 or 20 years old at the time of his accident. He lost his life. I went to the visitation the night before his funeral. And when you walked into the funeral home, you could feel the difference. I was 14, I think. I wasn't very wise at 14. Maybe I've improved some in that venture. But at 14 years old, even I could tell the difference in that room between a believer's death and a non-believer's death. Because maybe for the first time in my life, I saw what it was like for a family who had zero hope. And it's not a place that you want to be. But is it okay for a Christian to grieve? Absolutely, yes. It's okay for us to grieve. Again, when I was reading a W.A. Criswell article this week on this subject, he told another story of his neighbors. When he was a child, his neighbors were a part of a denomination that did not believe it was a correct thing for a Christian to grieve. And he went to the funeral service of this man who passed away, his neighbor. And Brother Criswell had a lot to say positive about this man. Believed 100% this man knew the Lord and he was a good, kind Christian man. He said, but at the funeral, the family sat over there in the corner and acted like nothing was wrong. Because they had been taught and were part of a belief system that for a Christian to grieve was not trusting God enough or something along those lines. We've also gotten in our minds this idea of masculinity, and I think there's a biblical masculinity. I believe men ought to be men and women ought to be women. Amen. But men have this thing where it's, well, if we cry, we're showing weakness. That's not true. Years ago, when Dick Vermeil was the head coach of the Eagles and then the St. Louis Rams, he would cry at press conferences all the time. An NFL head coach crying at press conferences. And ESPN and the other sports analysts would basically make fun of him on the air. But you know what? Dick Vermeil was crying not because he was super sensitive, but because he cared so much. Okay, which I would say is a pretty strong biblical principle of masculinity, to care very strongly about others. Okay, now I don't know if we necessarily need to cry over football that much. Some of us as Cowboys fans have been doing that for a while. But Dick Vermeil would cry at press conferences, and people would tell him that he wasn't manly. You know, and when Mike Tyson became the world heavyweight champion in 1985 at the age of 20, people have always liked to make fun of Mike Tyson because he's got a higher pitched voice than some men do. Coincidentally, nobody's ever said that to Mike Tyson's face that I'm aware of, okay? But we have all of these stipulations that we say, this is manly, this is not manly. And for some reason in our world, it's gotten to the point where we say grief and crying and really showing any emotion for a man is not a masculine thing. You know what the Bible says? The complete opposite of that. It's not even close. Let's answer the question. Is it a Christian thing? Is it Christian to grieve? Let me give you a couple of examples. Y'all ready for this? Well, one, in Acts chapter 8, verse 2, they have that inexpressible sorrow, that great lamentation over Stephen. Okay? What about this? How about the tears of Jesus? You want to tell me now, Christian, that it's not manly to cry? Jesus cried. If you're teaching Awana or a kid's Sunday school class, or even sometimes adults get smart alecky and you tell them, hey, let's quote the Bible verses. You know, the first one those guys go to is John 11:35. Jesus wept. Everybody knows that one. Well, why did Jesus cry? Because his friend Lazarus was dead. So is it okay, men, for us to cry as Christian men at a funeral? Absolutely. Jesus did. That's good enough for me. Jesus not only cried over his friend Lazarus, Jesus cried over the city of Jerusalem. Jesus, of course, in the Garden of Gethsemane, cried and wept over his impending crucifixion. There's three from Jesus. How about the tears of Paul? In 2 Corinthians, Paul tells about his whole missionary experience and the things that he experienced on his missionary journeys. And he talked about being snake bit and shipwrecked and beaten up and stoned and all of those things. And then the last thing in the list that he mentions is his anxiety for the churches. He was heartbroken over all these churches that he had visited and written to. Okay? And everything in that list, that's about the only one that I can empathize with, is anxiety over the churches. Okay? But in other places, Paul wrote to these different congregations of believers how he has wept over them and wept for them. So Jesus cried, Paul cried. How about we mentioned Simon Peter a few minutes ago, that Herod had him arrested because it was so popular, the beheading of James. But think about Simon Peter. After he denied Jesus, remember what the Bible says? When the rooster crowed that third time, he remembered that Jesus told him he would deny him three times. And the Bible says when the rooster crowed the third time that Peter wept bitterly. In the book of the Revelation, John says he wept because nobody was worthy to open up those books in Revelation chapter 5. So here's all these examples of men in the Bible shedding tears. Is it Christian to grieve? Absolutely. Okay? I would even say it takes more strength and courage to let your emotions out than it does to hold them in. I watched a documentary just a couple of weeks ago on the Marine Corps body bearers, and outside of Arlington National Cemetery, I don't know exactly where they're stationed, but in the D.C. area, these Marines, their whole job, their training is to be pallbearers, more or less, at the funerals of fallen veterans and active duty military members. And as I was watching the training, you know, if you've ever seen these parades and things in D.C. or the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, you know, which is guarded by personnel in the Army, they look for very specific built men. You got to be slim and trim to be in those parades and to guard the Tomb of the Unknown and all of those things. These body bearers have a completely different set of physical rules. They want them to be big and bulky. They want them to be able to carry that casket. When I've been a pallbearer, we always carry it down low. These guys carry it up shoulder height. They want them to be big and strong. And they have to be in great shape, because one of the regulations that they have as a body bearer is they cannot breathe through their mouth at all. They don't want any emotion showing on their face. They believe if they look like they're tired, and you know how it is when you've been working out, you're out in the sun and you're having a hard time breathing and you start breathing through your mouth. They don't want any of that from these body bearers. No emotion. Show nothing. It's okay for us to show that side. In the Bible, why did people grieve? We gave you some examples of men that cried in the Bible, but why did people grieve? How about David in 2 Samuel? He cried over the loss of his son Absalom. Absalom was supposed to be the heir to the throne. Absalom, who was this good-looking guy, the heir apparent and all this. And David wept over the loss of his son. He said, man, I would rather die 100 times than Absalom die. In the book of Ruth, Naomi wept over her husband. In Genesis chapter 35, Jacob wept over the loss of his wife. And the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 9, and also in Lamentations chapter 2, Jeremiah wept over the nation of Israel. Today, especially on this weekend where we celebrate those or remember those that have lost their lives, when's the last time you grieved for the United States of America? There's some very hard things taught in the New Testament for us as Christians. One of the most difficult things for me is the passages that talk about praying for those in authority over us. Occasionally on Wednesday nights, that gets brought up, and we do pray for our president and the other leaders, not just in Washington, D.C., but all throughout the United States and here even in Curry County, New Mexico. Well, when's the last time you grieved over our nation? Not got irritated, not updated your Facebook over it, but when's the last time you grieved over our nation? For those of you that have lived longer than me, you don't necessarily have to answer this out loud, but have things changed in your lifetime in the United States of America? Let me ask you another question, for good or for worse. We need to stop, as Christians, we need to stop expecting revival to happen in the United States of America at the White House. And expect revival to happen right here at our house. So when's the last time that you grieved over the United States? Did my great uncle Lawton Stewart, did he give his life for nothing? That others, many of you, because of such a strong military presence here in the church and in Clovis, many of you know people as personally that have given their lives for the United States of America. Did they do that for no reason? Maybe God hasn't called us to give our physical lives for this nation, but man, God has certainly called us to pray for our nation. Can revival happen, or is God incapable of changing lives today? God can change the United States of America. It's on us to grieve for our nation. It's okay to shed tears for the United States of America. Last one is this. This one really steps on my own toes pretty hard. When's the last time as a Christian you've shed tears over your sin? I could ask every single one of you as individuals, are you a sinner? Everybody in here would admit to being a sinner. Everybody in here would admit to having sinned tens of thousands of times in their life. They don't even want to know the number of times that they've sinned in their life. I've told you that before. I'd be embarrassed and shocked, and you'd fire me if you knew every sin that I've ever committed in my life. When was the last time you wept bitterly over your sin? Is it even a big deal to you? I understand. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus rose again from the dead. I have hope for heaven. And it's not just a hope where I'm crossing my fingers, but I believe 100% when I die, I'll be in heaven because of the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. But I haven't been given a license to sin just because they're forgiven. It should hurt us. The worst thing in the world, and I'd say this if she was here or not, I already mentioned my mom's here today. The last thing I want to do is to do anything to hurt or disappoint my parents. The last thing my kids want to do is to hurt or disappoint Kara and myself. I know that sometimes when I'm not at the house and the kids get in trouble and Kara will send me a text or give me a call and kind of tell me what's going on if they're not behaving exactly the way they should. And Kara, of course, is very capable of handling that, but she'll also sometimes tell them that you'll need to talk to Daddy when he gets home about this issue. And more often than not, many times there's already tears in their eyes when I walk in the door. Not because they're scared of me. My kids aren't scared of me, and I don't want them to be scared of me. But there's tears in their eyes because they feel like they've disappointed me. Do I love them any less? Do I make them sleep out in the backyard with the dog? How do I treat them? I may talk to them truthfully and maybe even in some ways aggressively without raising my voice. But their behavior doesn't determine how much I care for them.
That's right.
I care for them no matter what. And I am an imperfect knucklehead. How much more does God care about you, even when you disappoint Him? But it's still okay for us to grieve over our sin, because I believe the Lord grieves when his children sin. The story of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, which, man, it absolutely is good news. That if we could see ourselves in comparison to the Lord Jesus, the way that he sees things, we would have nothing to say or do except fall flat on our face. But he loves us anyway. And today, as we mentioned initially, today we can talk about Jesus Christ. I can say things what the Bible says in freedom because, in large part, those 1.1 million that have given their lives for the United States of America, I can say things like Jesus is the only way to heaven. Outside of him, you have no hope. And nobody's going to walk in the back door and say, oh, Kevin, you can't say that. You know what? Even if they did tell me to stop saying that, I'm not going to. Because of those men and women that have been killed in action in the United States military, I can say those things. And I can say that murder is a sin. I can say that lying is a sin. Whether it felt good or not, it's still wrong. I can say all of those things. I can say God created the heavens and the earth just by speaking. I can say all of that. But why will I not stop saying those things? Why will you not stop saying those things? Because we know, we are convinced that it's absolutely true. Thank God of heaven and earth that we live in the United States of America where we can say those things and we can host vacation Bible schools in the park and those types of things. It is a biblical principle of if you've been given a lot, you also have a lot of responsibility with what you've been given. As Christians that live in the United States of America, what do you have to fear? Why not be bold in the name of Jesus? Looking at myself, why not be courageous in the name of Jesus? What are they going to do to me? I might make somebody upset. All right. Jesus made people upset. Jesus made some of the people that were following upset. Remember, Jesus even looked at the disciples and said, hey, you guys going to leave too now after you've heard a hard saying? John chapter 6. Look it up. It's in there. What's the worst that can happen to you? Well, what if somebody takes your life? Did you know Jesus addressed that even? He said, don't fear man that can kill the body. Fear God who can kill the body and cast a soul into hell. And the good news is, those of us that believe, we don't have to worry about hell. What do we have to be afraid of? Not a thing. Today, I'll say this. Try to get back on track, not that it matters, because if God wants something said, I pray that he'll say it through me. But it's okay for us to grieve. And I would say even beyond that, it is the right thing for us to grieve over our sins. It's okay to grieve over lost loved ones. Okay, that's fine. I want you to do this. Make sure your friends and family know that if something happens to you and you lose your life, make sure that they know your home is in heaven. Make sure that they know those things. Okay? So they'll grieve, but they won't grieve as the world does. They'll grieve with hope. They won't be lost and forlorn and without anything. Make sure they know that. Maybe today there's something that you've held the grief in right here. You know, that's unhealthy for you. Not just physically, but spiritually. Let that thing out. Okay, if you shed tears, fine. Nobody here is going to judge you for that. If they do, that's their fault. They'll have to deal with the Lord on that themselves. Let that thing go. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for today, God. We just, again, are grateful that we are here in the United States of America, God, and that we can say things that are biblical truth without any fear of anything. God, I want to thank you for the 1.1 million that have given their lives for the United States of America. God, and on top of that, and while we recognize those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice, we are thankful for those that have been willing to pay that sacrifice. God, today I pray we would remember that it's okay for us to grieve. The believers early there in Acts chapter 8 grieved over the loss and the murder of Stephen. It's okay for us to grieve when we lose a family member or a friend that we're close to. Doesn't mean we trust you any less. We look to the examples in the Bible of Jesus himself and Paul and John and Peter and many others that shed tears over lost loved ones. God, I want to thank you for the blessing it is to be raised in a family. Just about everybody knows Jesus Christ. God, and we've lost family members. We've grieved and we've shed tears. But man, we have such a hope in Jesus Christ that they live forever. God, I pray that today for us as believers that we would be grieved over our sin. Not because you want us to feel guilty, but so that in turn our lives will become more Christ-like. That we'll mature in our spirituality. We thank you for Jesus, the sacrifice that he paid on the hill of Calvary 2,000 years ago. God, there's not one person I'm looking at right now that was worthy of that. I'm not, certainly not worthy of that. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the hope that we have in him and the peace and the joy that we find in him and the assurance that we can have of our eternal home being heaven. Thank you for all those things.
We'd love for you to join us at Highland Baptist Church in Clovis, New Mexico, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you for listening. For more audio sermons, visit us online at highlandclovis.com.